Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Is God coming? I mean, I did some really rudimentary math, and there has to be at least a billion prayers prayed to God, God with a capital G. God, come save our ass. God, suffering on planet Earth sucks. God, I've had enough. God, God, God. Is God coming? Is some divine being going to come down from the skies and wave a wand and holy crap, the slums turn into palaces. And human suffering is wiped from the face of the earth, lickety split. Is that, I mean, why the hell are we praying if, I mean, maybe the real question is, does God suck at saving humanity? I mean, is that even a thing? If, I mean, imagine his inbox, like he sits down to check his email and there's all these flipping prayers, come save us, come save us. I mean, what the hell? What the hell, God? I don't want to sound flippant. I'm not flippant towards God in any way, shape, or form. But if we can't ask the tough questions, we can't solve the tough problems. If we're sitting on our hands waiting for our Savior to come back, or our Savior's plural, or God to, you know, finally get around to it, if that's what we're doing, we're not in the game. We're not in the game. If humans are in the game here on planet Earth, where the hell's God? Wait. What if we are the personification of God? What if we are God here on planet Earth? Not with a big G, because that's all of all that is. And if you look up at the night sky, you can quickly see that's way out of the realm of a human ego to wrap their noggin around. But is God in the game? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Our topic tonight, I'm excited. Tonight's episode's a little different. I mean, we're going to go places tonight. You might need to saddle up and hold on. But the topic tonight, God's in the game. God's, plural, God's. God's in the game. This is the name of one of our guests tonight. We actually have two guests tonight, which is not very common on this show. And I'm totally stoked for tonight's episode. I think you're going to hear some great content, and that's what this is all about. God's in the game is the name of one of our guests, Alex Marcou. We're having her back on the show. She's been on the show before. The subtitle of the book is Messages on the Awakening and Conscious Shift. And we're going to bring on Connie as well a little later on. We're going to talk about the book to cover the content of the book, and then we're going to bring on Connie, and it's going to, we're going to talk about autism and its role, the role of autism in the awakening of consciousness. So I'm very excited for this. But so I grew up in Christian household, an extremely staunch Mormon household. And in that dynamic, Jesus was the Savior. Jesus was, that's who you hitched your wagon to, because Jesus would take you to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, well, you're going to be doing everything I have done. Wait, what? My Savior said that I, and he meant you too, the listener, that we will do everything that the Savior has done and more. Well, hell, if Jesus came to save the flipping planet, and we're to do everything Jesus is, we're here to save the flipping planet. So maybe we are the gods. Have I stirred your noggin up enough? Should we get to it? I think we should, because I think time's going to be a slippery little thing tonight, and that's fine. So let's get to it. The topic tonight is Gods in the Game, and our guest tonight is Alex Marcoux. Alex is a multi-award-winning author of visionary fiction and spirituality books. She considers herself a truth seeker and has woven hidden truths into her work, whether writing suspense novels or spirituality books. Since 2011, she has researched the sacred mysteries and magic of autism and its relationship to humanity's spiritual evolution. These truths are in Alex's books, Gods in the Game, Destination New Earth, and The Unsuspected Heroes. She has 7 books to date. Join me in welcoming Alex to the show. Alex, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Les. I really appreciate this invitation.
Well, it's good to have you back on the show, because you've been on the show before.
I have. It's been almost 2 years. I think it's almost exactly 2 years.
Wow.
It was when Destination New Earth was introduced.
And what's kind of unique about tonight's show is Alex and I actually live in the same neighborhood. Which is very uncommon.
I know. Go figure, right?
First of all, I'm delighted by the book. I mean, you're looking straight on at the notion of our role as gods in the game, as perhaps we are the personification of God consciousness, so to speak. What made you take on this particular title for this particular perspective and topic for this book?
Well, actually, you know, this book was largely driven by an ethereal autist. And I think this book is so unique to most work. I think I really would like to just start with telling you a little bit about my journey, how I got to the point of writing this book.
Sure.
And it goes back to 2011, and at that time I was introduced to the concept that autistics have a higher intelligence and expanded awareness, and many of them have gifts like telepathy and traveling interdimensionally, and unconditional love, artistic expression, and advanced psychic skills, and some others that we're not even aware of. My work has always been about seeking truth. So I don't stop. What I have done is I've connected with 3 ethereal autists. I call them ethereal autists. These are autistics who are, they're higher vibrational. And I don't preach that they're different and they're not less. I don't preach that they're different and not less than. I honor what these autistics are telling us. So I take my work, which is to seek those truths, and I work with these autists as well as higher dimensional beings, such as the masters, as well as a collective conscious, a collective in the 16th dimension. So this is channeled work. And, you know, for me to really tell you this about this work, I have to introduce four people right from the beginning. The first would be the ethereal autist who has worked with me on three books. And his name is Daniel. And, you know, Daniel, as I mentioned, he's high vibrational. He's what I call an ethereal autist. He's silent. He's a nonverbal autistic, and he communicates through facilitated communication, through telepathy, through psychic communications. He also is channeled by certain people. And Daniel is a great monitor for our project. And what I mean by that is he oversees the project and ensures that the project, our channelings, aren't getting contaminated. They haven't been hijacked, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
He's also the orchestrator of basically the last two books. He has driven much of the direction of the last two books, including the name of the book. And then Connie. Connie's going to be with us a little later in the show. Connie, I started working with Connie back in 2015, and she's Daniel's mother, and she assisted me in many of the capacities for this project, including helping me with the transcriptions. She's intuitive. She did much of the reading on the project. And she's my connection to Daniel. And then there's one person who's not here with us tonight, and her name is Shauna Kalicki. And Shauna is that very talented channel. Connie started psychically communicating with the autistics that I work with. She started doing that back in, I think, 2017. And she also channels the Ascended Masters. And for our book, she channels Mother Mary for this project. She also channels for this project Sirion, which is a 16th dimensional collective, as well as, and she communicates with Daniel psychically also. The very cool thing is between the three, you know, between Daniel, Connie, Shauna, and myself, and I'm pretty much the rude mechanic. I'm the writer of the project. I have this thing called the truth meter. So anything that goes into this book, it goes through my truth filter. And so much of the information that goes in the book is I've been guided to include it. So all these people, this is a very, all these people are involved in the project. And so this is a collaborative effort. You might say it's my book, but it really is the work of the three people, the four people that I just mentioned. Well, myself too. So with that said, I think I just wanted to share that I mentioned I've written three books. The 2020 book I wrote was called The Unsuspected Heroes. That's a novel, and it introduces the concept, the autism truth in that novel, and it, as a novel format. The 2022 book that I mentioned, Destination New Earth, that I mentioned earlier, that book is on the role of the autistics and what the new earth is today. And God's in the Game, which is a deeper dive into this consciousness shift and of course, the awakening and God, and, of course, Lemuria, where it all begins.
Very nice. Well, I'm glad you put some context to the people and personas or that are involved in this. Now, God's in the Game. I really like how you're taking square on focus of this human genome, this human experience that we're all having. I mean, I have your book in my hand, Chapter 9, your Divine Blueprint, Chapter 10, Humans Are Multidimensional Beings. I mean, you're really looking at the human genome as not only perhaps a divine creation, but a vehicle of the divine. For you to look at, and I love it, to look at like Chapter 9, your divine blueprint. You have a divine blueprint. I have a divine blueprint. The listeners have a divine blueprint. How, and I love how you're looking at us as personas or entities or what, however you want to contextualize it, as not only the intention of the divine, but a vehicle of the divine. Can you elaborate on the role of the human persona in this earth experience?
Yeah, actually, I'd like to talk a little about that divine blueprint that you're mentioning, because I don't think everybody is familiar with that term. I know I wasn't, and it started coming up in our channelings. And you know, I think of that divine blueprint as the plan that we set before we came, before we incarnated. It's, you know, who we are destined to be and our ultimate life path while we're here. You know, it goes beyond what we call our purpose in life, though it does include it. It's kind of a guide to what we're supposed to do, what we're destined to do, and what we're destined to express, to live in this lifetime. You know, so everyone comes into this world with these unique gifts and talents and that only they have. And the divine blueprint is something that resides within us. It's what, you know, we most desire. It's what we are called to do. It's what we long for. And, you know, on the other hand, it's about being also. It's not just doing. It's about being our authentic self. It's living from that high heart that connects us to our soul. That's the portal to the soul. It's, you know, who we inherently are. And at this point in this, as we go through this collect consciousness shift, you know, we're trying to bring forth that magical expression of our soul's essence into this world. And that is the divine blueprint. It's our truth, our authentic self, and who we're destined to be. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But for many of us, we're born into like just the 3D brick and mortar sort of thing. Like myself, oh my God, did I never see myself as a spiritual anything until the cosmic 2x4 cracked me open. And then we turn around and we think of a divine blueprint that our soul and maybe even in a larger context, the intent of our life. In this chapter of our human history, it's quite clear that humanity as a collective consciousness is going through an extremely profound transformation, And a lot of us, from a soul's perspective, intended to be born into this karmic tsunami and to discover our divinity, and then to personify or embody our divinity. Well, damn, that's a lot for a brick and mortar ego to wrap their noggin around. And so what I like about your book, a lot of times our minds cannot take on something unless we can see the mechanics or perhaps the how of it. Like quantum consciousness, I think for a lot of people, give them a permission slip. It gives their ego a way to understand perhaps the mechanics of miracles. And now that they understand the mechanics of miracles, it kind of gives their ego an understanding or perhaps a permission for them to show up in a more powerful way. And your book talks about us as these divine blueprints, these divine vehicles. How has your own life transformed as you immerse yourself in the material of your books? And as you say, you're a seeker of truth. How has that changed you in your lifetime?
How has that changed me in my life? You know, I am very much, I am very much a hermit. I've learned that for me to live my divine blueprint, I separated myself from a lot of people in my life. Not everyone, but I take humanity in doses. How's that? You're talking about the 3D, right? In order to move from the 3D to the 5D, we have to level up games here, right? And I know what the name of the book is, you know, Guys in the Game. And some people are like, well, who are the gods? And you've told us who the gods are, right? Humanity. What is the game? And what I like to share really is about how, you know, our lives are part of this elaborate game that began way back in Lemuria. And that was when fractals of source consciousness, or what you might call God, separated from source. Why would that happen? To experience that 3D, right? They wanted to experience life more fully in physicality. And when I say they, I'm talking about source wanted that. And, you know, that happened in Lemuria, and it took eons and eons for that source consciousness to evolve into that physical form. And in doing so, what happened? We lost our memory of being divine. We forgot who we were. But that was the plan. All along, source consciousness wanted to experience physicality. So, you know, but this game has all these different levels. And one of the hypotheses at the beginning was, so source comes to this planet, and after achieving physicality, forgetting who we were, and then has an opportunity of remembering that were expressions of source. One of the questions was, would we choose to remain in the 3D in physicality, or would we opt to level up to 5D, you know, to the fifth dimension? You know, because keep in mind, right from the beginning, the objective was to experience So, you know, the interesting thing is that the objective of the 3D that we're talking about, Les, is to live our divine blueprint, is to be our authentic self, is to express that magical essence of our soul. And, you know, we're currently facing the end of that 3D game. I'm not saying 3D, I'm saying the 3D game. That game is ending. And to level up, to go to the fifth dimension, we need to achieve that divine blueprint and live our authentic self. You know, so as the 3D game ends, you know, most are not going to shift to the 5D. Instead, we're going to go into this new game. There's going to be a new game with new twists, new turns. And the masters, when I say the masters, what Sirion has shared, what Daniel has shared, what Mother Mary has shared, that in order for this collective shift to happen, which is what's occurring on the planet now, for that to happen, light team members must achieve a higher level of awakening to trigger it, to bring the gods in the game into the 5D. And this is why many of us are here right now to help trigger this collective shift to bring the gods in the game, humanity, into the fifth dimension. So who are the nice. Gods in the game? They're humans. That's right. Well, that would be you. I think you're probably a light team member, Les.
Hey, when I got the brochure to incarnate on planet Earth, I did not read the fine print.
I don't think a lot of us read the fine print.
Well, I was looking at your book, and there is a part in there you're talking about Yeshua and Mary Magdalene and them. I think it was what you were just talking about leveling up into that. Perhaps I would call it like Christ consciousness or 5D or whatever.
They actually achieved an ascension. But that's not exactly what we're here to do. I mean, a number of people are working on an ascension, which is, you know, to leave this physical form, go back to source.
Oh, right.
But our body would be, you know, our body is gone here on planet Earth. That is not what this whole game is about. That's not what this movement is about. This movement really is about triggering a collective shift in consciousness. And for people, you know, because think about it, when people achieve an ascension and they leave the planet, if we did that on a mass event, we would be removing the cream of the crop from the planet.
Yeah.
And what would that do to humanity's consciousness? It would plummet. It would lower. And right now, we need to raise the frequency of the planet. Humanity needs to raise its frequency.
Right. Well, I'll speak for myself. My intention is to embody unconditional love, embody. And so I got cracked open 25 years ago, whatever, and I've been scrubbing my psyche and scrubbing my psyche and scrubbing my psyche for 25 years, and I will continue to do it until my last breath. And I've covered a lot of ground, so to speak, in my consciousness, and there's this field of light, and my soul dragged me kicking and screaming, that's a joke, into LIGHT. It was non-local space. It was pure consciousness, and there was no duality in that. And my practice or whatever is to purify my physical body, my emotional body, my mental body, my et cetera, et cetera, so I can embody that light mm-hmm. within my persona. And I, the reason I bring that up is I really like the point that you made that we're not here to ascend and drop our body off and hit the road and not look back. It's to up level or whatever that term you used to within our life, within our body, within our routine, within our days, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. It's beautiful. It's embodiment. That's what we're here for. We're to integrate that higher self in a physical form, a physicality.
Right.
And what
right.
we're learning is, you know, that happens through the heart, through the higher heart. And that's what this whole awakening is about. But you sound like you have an amazing experience. What this group, we label it as a milk experience. But anyway, that's beautiful, Les. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Again, I really like this book. I don't talk about books with such enthusiasm very often, and I just really like your book. So I'm glad we've covered the ground we've covered, but you and Connie and Daniel and the team, so to speak, have such wonderful information about autism. This might be a good time to pivot in tonight's show. Now, we're going to bring Connie on in just a minute, but there's a lot of people that have autism in their life and they don't understand it. Maybe they don't have a spiritual bone in their body. The idea of woo-woo multidimensionalness is kind of out of their wheelhouse. I'm very delighted to bring the topic of autism front and center in this conversation. And so I think now's a good time to pivot with that. And before we bring Connie on, Alex, you've touched on Connie's role a little bit. When we bring Connie on, if you would be so kind as to take the lead, so to speak, with questions and whatnot, because I don't have autism directly in my life, and so it's not in my wheelhouse. In order for the content that needs to come forward, that'd be, I think you and Connie can be the vehicle for that. And you touched on a little bit of Connie's role as Daniel's mother, because I want to make sure the audience understands who Connie is. And so I think that puts it in context enough. And there's no time like the present. Why don't we go ahead and bring Connie on the show? Connie, welcome to the show.
Hello. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm very delighted for you both to be here. So, Alex, do you want to take it from here?
Well, I'd like to say a little about autism before we just jump in. Because, you know, there's the scientists, you know, there's the communities all, it is just so interesting that if you go back 40 years, according to the CDC, anyway, and back in, I think it was 2018, the incident of the autism was 1 in 5,000 kids, and today that's 1 in 36. That's huge. It's a huge increase. And so, you know, we hear society, you know, say, try to explain it with all these different theories like, oh, it's the childhood inoculations, or, Yeah, people are getting older as they have children, or society and politics favor the diagnosis of autism. And then one of my favorites is that hey, this is growing awareness of autism, right? And that might be true if you compare 40 years, like if you go back to 1980, and then you compare 2020, yeah, that's 40 years, and there is a growing awareness there. But if you take a look at the years 2016 and 2020, between those 2 years, those 4 years, there's a 50% increase in just those 4 years. And so as society looks at these theories and they scratch their heads, they go, what is it? And they just keep coming up with more theories. And, you know, I looked at this when the autism came into my life back in 2011. And none of these theories ever really, they never resonated. And the simple truth is that what I've learned is that the autists, they're here because humanity needs what they are doing for this planet. They need what they're doing for this evolutionary shift in consciousness. That is why the autist rate has increased over the years. So you might go, well, what are they doing? And, you know, the first is there's so many things that they do, and there's so many things that we don't understand. But the few things that I've taken away from my experience with the autist is that these autists, they hold the infrastructure of this thing that we call the New Earth. They create situations to awaken humanity. And there is a group of autists that are working on the safer removal of this veil in consciousness. And the autists work with Mother Gaia. They work in tandem to anchor what we call this Lemurian energy. So there's a lot of different facets. Every time I talk to Connie, she tells me, yeah, there's a group of autists working on, for example, trying to clean up the water. So with that saying that, you know, yes, Connie has been involved in this project since I think it's 2015. I first met Connie, and in the physical, we had been conversing through email and such. So Connie is Daniel's mother. Daniel is one of these high vibrational autistics. So Connie, let me just ask you a few questions, okay? Can you first share with us how you first learned that Daniel had a higher intelligence than what you had been led to believe by his doctors?
Well, that is a story that I love to tell because oftentimes in my journey, I have people that will ask me, and I actually appreciate this question. They ask me, are you sure that your son's really communicating this way? Are you sure that you just don't have wishful thinking and, it's just you? And I appreciate this question, and the reason why is because of how it came to be. So what happened was in 2013, Daniel was like 18 years old. He was going on 19 when this happened. I was in a situation where I was at work, and they had a barbecue luncheon, and I ended up in the same room with a coworker of mine where – and this is a coworker where I was not really familiar with. She worked on the other side of the building. And, just not someone I interacted with a lot. And so as we're eating, she looks at me and she reluctantly reveals that my son, Daniel, has been communicating with her for the last 2 weeks. And I'm looking at this woman thinking, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What do you mean? How are you communicating with my son? And at that point, this is how she got my attention. She responded to a question that I had asked Daniel a day prior in regards to him eating grass in the backyard. She says, he wants me to let you know that the reason he eats the grass in the backyard is because there's a substance in it that actually helps his belly when it's upset. And I was like, okay, now. And, you know, when that happened, it immediately made me think of my sister-in-law just 2 years earlier. She had mentioned to me that Daniel and other autistics were holding a light for humanity. She said that her spirit guide showed them to her as pillars of light and that they held humanity up. And without the autistics being these pillars of light, humanity would actually come crashing down, because the autistics were the key to the awakening. And again, when this was told to me by my sister-in-law, who was intuitive 2 years prior, I did not know how to take that. I didn't believe her, because it's not that I was closed-minded to psychic information. It was just that Daniel's on the very severe side of autism. He's, you know, low-functioning, needs a lot of assistance with everything. And in my human brain, I could not understand how is it that he can do anything. So fast forward 2 years later, here's this coworker telling me unusual story. So I had to put two and two together. And they had so many miraculous experiences together that, you know, I'm actually surprised that I didn't go research what I researched earlier. And what I researched was, I went to Google because I wanted to see what was going on. I was not alone with having this non-speaking autistic child of mine speaking to someone in the way he was. You know, why and how is this happening? Yeah, I get that it might be related to my sister-in-law, what she said, but what exactly is going on? So I went to Google, and I remember Googling autism and spirituality. And the first thing that came up was the book Autism, A Hidden Key to Our Spiritual Magnificence. And when I got that book and read it, it was like, whew, I'm not crazy. Hallelujah. I was like, that book, it just tied everything together. And that's when I really knew for sure, okay, this is it. What's going on now? So it just made me want to know more.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that, unless you wouldn't know this, I was working on that book, Autism. I was doing SEO for that website, the author's website, and the authors are Gail and Lyrica. So it was my SEO that brought Connie into their life, and that's how I connected with her. So how do you communicate with Daniel?
Well, through that book, I learned about facilitated communication. And I learned that he can communicate in that way. And however, I must say, although we do communicate using the facilitated communication, which is assisted typing, I just gently grab his hand and he actually points to each letter on the board. Okay. I do not force where his hand goes. I'm very careful with that because I don't want to influence anything. So he is the one that is pointing to whatever. However, mm-hmm. he prefers telepathy.
Uh-huh.
He calls facilitated communication me using training wheels. And the reason he doesn't like facilitated communication that much is because it takes more time telepathy is quick. It's so quick. And actually, I do hear a lot of what he's saying, but I second-guess myself. So what I do is I will check in with him and, you know, make sure I heard him correctly, air quote, heard. And he will say, he's very honest with me. He'll say yes or no. There are even sometimes where I will bring his communication board to him to ask him a question, and he's already heard it. He's already, because he's telepathic, and he's already answering the question I was about to ask him on the board. Yeah.
Okay.
So another way in which Daniel communicates is, as you mentioned, channeling. He also does psychic communication. And as a matter of fact, we do, you know, weekly sessions with an individual who does psychic communication with them. And he loves these sessions because they're quick. You know, he can get a lot of information out quick, and those sessions are rated too. You know, and what I mean by rated is any time where telepathic or psychic communication is used with Daniel, I do like to rate it with him to make sure that the information is, you know, with integrity. So we do rate it, you know, and if anything rates low, he will tell me what needs to be clarified or corrected or whatever. Speaking of this individual that he sees every week to connect with, I remember telling my coworker at the time that when she was connecting with Daniel, I was like, girl, I don't know what you're doing or how you're doing it, but I'm pretty sure there's some money making in this for you, you know, and you can help so many families. And you know what was so sad? And I get this. This is no judgment here, okay, because I was raised very religious. I mean, we were in church Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. I was in the choir. I mean, I get it. Her issue was she didn't want anyone to know she was doing this, and she was ashamed of it because of the religious background. I told her, I was actually right. There is something, you know, I didn't know what it was because remember back then when this was first told to me, I was thinking, how are they communicating like this? You know, that's big. And that's what woke me up more and made me want to know more. Like I said, you know, it's this big process.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love that you brought up the rating portion of it for only because of the book that we've written, because a lot of the channelings and the psychic communications that we use in the book, Daniel monitors it and he'll rate it, and so that we know that we're delivering as close to the truth as we possibly can. Thank you for bringing that up. So can you share some of Daniel's gifts and what role you think he plays in this shift in consciousness in the new earth?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a very huge question. He has many gifts. Like I said, he is telepathic. He can be in more than one place at a time, which I learned with a coworker. That blew my mind. I'll give you an example of that, if I may. There was a time where he told her he was in a new adult day hab, and I was worried about him. And I didn't tell anyone this. And he told her to come tell me that he was sitting on a big bean bag in the center, and he wanted me to call in about an hour just to check on him. Everything's fine. They just gave me a snack, but, you know, her nerves are getting the best of her, so just tell her, give me a call. I'm okay. Now, I never told this individual that Daniel was in a new day hab that day.
Mm-hmm.
But he's able to see me. Because that's one of the first things she was telling me, besides him eating the grass in the backyard. She told me that he's able to see you at any time. He said that he uses the eyes of others to come and spy on you. Now, doesn't that sound sci-fi? That's one of the gifts that he has. Moving right along into the gift, he is also telekinetic. He is a grid master. He's a teacher. He shares information on past lives. He only does that to – he doesn't do it – he's very strict with it. He doesn't do it for fun so you can play, you know, play around. He does it so you can learn something from it. He actually once described himself as the orchestrator. He makes sure that he makes sure that the energies that need to move and shift actually occur. And then he also connects with and directs other beings that work with and is able to identify what is needed for the earth and to heal consciousness. So he does a lot of things. I mean, so it's kind of hard for me to say what he does because he's doing multiple things all at once at times, which it sometimes can be a problem in this household. And we'll get into that in a moment. Yeah.
Okay. And when you say he works with other beings, he works with galactic beings, masters, angels.
The guardians. He works with...
The guardians?
Uh-huh. And the galactic guardians. He also works with certain humans.
Uh-huh. In autism.
So it's
also
not just... it's certain individuals that can hear him. He works with them.
Okay.
Would you like me to give an example of that? Because I can hear you going, what do you mean other humans that can hear him?
Well, yeah,
or
please,
do you know
give me an example. I do, but
okay, so okay, so I was in a meeting one day and with a mom group, and we realized that someone from a totally different country had been communicating with Daniel. He had come to her as a guide, and he had a code name. And she realized in this meeting that it was Daniel that had been connecting with her and giving her all this information to assist her in her journey. That's how he also helped. So I didn't want it to make it look like it's only higher beings that he connects with. He connects also with humans that can hear him.
Okay.
And so they don't always know him as Daniel. So I wanted to make that clear.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I know I probably lost the audience, but I just wanted to make sure because he communicates with a lot of, you know, and he blows my mind. He does, like I said, he does many things. And sometimes what he does is hard to describe.
Right.
What we're talking about is because our minds, like Connie, you were saying, as you were growing up, it was a real 3D world, so to speak. Our minds, our egos, I don't think we can even comprehend our own souls. Our souls are this vast, 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 multidimensional aspect of our persona, and if we were to ask our ego, okay, articulate, be clear, be concise, be comprehensive, describe your soul, we would suck because our minds are linear, our egos are linear, and what we're talking about is not linear. And so it often is very confusing to our minds because we can't even comprehend that multidimensional realm, if that makes sense.
Yes,
and thanks for saying that because that's one of the lessons that I teach a lot of the moms or caretakers who reach out to me that are just finding out that their autists have these gifts. And one of the things I tell them is, hey, look, a lot of this information that they give us is so expansive. Don't try to understand it all at once. What your goal is to do is to support them and just to know that there's more to them than just autism. That's it. All the rest will come, okay?
Nice.
Just support them and know.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. Can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
Okay. This is about your work. Did Daniel ask you to help him with his work? And if so, can you give me examples of how you help him?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, years ago when my sister-in-law told me about Daniel, she did mention that he was going to need my assistance with the work that he was going to be doing for humanity. She said that him and I would work together. He never really asked me to help him. However, I just know it's kind of like a given that I know my assistance is needed. And it's not just my assistance. It's like I said, it's humanity, because the more of us that know about the awesome ones and what they came here to do, the more ignited that the Autist Collective can become. And I've seen how powerful they are together. And I've seen the magic that can happen when you get them all together and they're around people that know. They know and see them for who they are. It's just, I can't even describe it in words. It's just amazing.
Beautiful. Okay.
And you want to give examples of how I help. I do want to give an example of how I do help. Really quick. I'm sorry. I do help when Daniel will, in this journey, because this has been going on since 2013, if he gives spiritual homework, if he says go within, work with the emotions, you know, one of his biggest lessons have been do not suppress your emotions. Feel them out. Love everyone as much as you love me and more. That was one of his first lessons to me. You know, I do what he guides me to do, you know, with the light language, when he was teaching me the light language. Whatever, he gives me certain assignments to do that will assist him in healing humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
beautiful.
I do.
Beautiful. Okay, I only have one other question, unless Les has a question. My question is, what is it like to be a parent of a high vibrational autist? And, you know, can you share maybe some of the challenges you and your husband may face? And, you know, if you have any words of words for other autistic parents that you might share with them that could, you know, help put a different light on potentially other autists that haven't woken up yet. Does that make sense, Connie?
Yeah. Let me do the best I can here. Well, I'm going to tell you, Daniel is not fully embodied. And that allows him to do the work that he does. And with that comes behaviors and meltdowns. And what I mean by that is that a lot of the autistics are not completely tethered or in their bodies. And this is another thing my sister-in-law was trying to tell me 2 years ago. She was like, oh, he's not tethered in. He's barely here. And I was like, what are you talking about, Willis? I don't know what that means. But so if he, because they can't be completely here or they can't do their work. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of their behaviors comes from either them being spiritually attacked because of the work that they're doing,
mm-hmm.
or because of the energies that they're feeling because of the work that they're doing. A lot, and sometimes they can even, the ugliness that we have as humanity, they can feel, oh, their big impact, that impacts them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, there's no handbook. I could just say this a million times to the parents. There is no handbook. It's very hard. It's rewarding where I know that I'm here. Okay, let me just say it like this, and I hope I don't offend anyone. When I was living my Christian, being brought up Christian, I kind of felt dread sometimes, right? However, with with the awakening that I've had on this journey with the autism truth, I feel more hopeful and my heart's more open. I would say, yes, my heart's open. And let me tell you something. The more you open your heart and your mind, the more information comes into you that you are ready to know. Okay. And again, I would say to the parents that have suspected that, because I've spoken to many parents that have suspected something about their kid. Like when I, you know, because I'm a big mouth. If I hear someone has an autistic child or, you know, a family member, I will tell them, you know, hey, you know, there's more to autism than what meets the eye. And, you know, I've heard a lot of them say, you know what, I felt that. I've seen him do this, or is that why he did this? And they'll tell me some woo-woo story, you know. And I just say, you know what, all you got to know is know that. You knowing that and seeing your loved one now in a different way helps them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't know, I just plant that seed. I feel planting a seed is important.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my biggest advice is don't try to figure out what they're doing, because I've seen parents frustrated with that. Oh, I don't understand what he's saying, especially if they're brought up religious. They kind of get frustrated sometimes at what information comes out. And I always tell them, hey, you know, you're open to believe what you want to believe, no judgment, but please be open to what they say. Don't make the mistake that I did when Daniel and I were first communicating with facilitated communication, and he said something that did not jive with my belief system, and it cut our communication for a few months. So they need to feel free to be able to express and communicate with you if you choose to, you know, communicate in that way. Just be open. Unless you know who wrote the story, be curious. I don't understand why humanity allows themselves to be fed information that's not validated, you know. And you don't necessarily have to validate information in a book you read or information you hear. You validate it by discernment. How does it make you feel? We a lot of times we believe something just because it's a popularity vote.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be a little bit more open. So I'd say to the, you know, people out there, be open. That's it. Be open so you can see.
Beautiful.
Did I answer your question?
Yes. Thank you. That's beautiful, Connie. Thank you. Thank you for being here, too.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. I'm sorry I'm stumbling all over my words. It's just I'm so, you know, I tell my husband, a friend, my friends, I say, you know, this journey has been so big. And it's, like I said, it's an honor to be here during these times. I know we are in for a treat. I mean, I know some things are going down, you know.
Well, now,
yes,
Connie, I guess I'd only have one more question, or maybe it's just asking for your insight in that. The way you answered the last question certainly touched on it. So imagine I'm a listener to this show somewhere on the planet, and I have an autistic child, and I've been listening to this conversation, and it's like, well, holy crap, there, I could find a psychic, and then they could talk to my kid, and then that'll change the whole rodeo. And psychics are just as vulnerable, or and a quick side comment, I applaud both of you for how you really look at what's coming through, and you weigh it for you have a discernment to ensure it's a it resonates with the truth. But Connie, if you were to talk to a parent that's listening to the show that has been introduced to the idea that psychics can communicate with autistic people. What advice would you give them if they were like? Sometimes I ask guests, "How do I Google this? How do I find my psychics? Don't have to be local, but how do I find my own resources to help me improve my connectivity, so to speak, with my autistic child? Can you touch on that?"
Well, yes. One of the resources is, and I'm not sure if they're called psychics. They're more called awesomeism practitioners. And Susie Miller is the head of that. The individual that Daniel sees weekly is an awesomeism practitioner. So they're not really, although it is psychic technique they use, but they're called awesomeism practitioners. So what I would recommend for parents to do is, I'd say go to Facebook. Facebook is a good resource because there are several groups on Facebook that support this. What is one called? The Light of Autism. And another one is Autism, A New Awakening. The Gifts of Autism, that's another good support group on Facebook. And I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting another, but those are really good starts to find someone like that. I would say, honestly, I didn't start that way. I didn't start using an awesomeism practitioner until later. I actually was using the facilitated communication, and I would actually, just me if I had a magic wand, would encourage parents to start that way. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. They can draw the letter board themselves and just, you know, practice. And I would say this, because this was a mistake I made with Daniel. If you do try to use facilitated communication yourself, don't expect for your child to look at the board when they're typing. Because at first I thought, well, that's not him typing because he's not looking. They don't need to look at the board. They don't. And most of the time they don't. They don't need to look at the board. So that's very important. Have them guide them gently so they can press each letter or number. You would be amazed at how many can actually type. But I do feel most are like my son, where they probably want telepathy. That's just my little opinion.
Well, Connie, you've done a great job. I mean, you're very articulate with your answers. You're very and I love how you answered my question just now because you brought in some new language to what parents can look into, and that right there is a resource for them. So I think we're coming to the end of the show. I'd like to first thank Connie for being on the show. Connie, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your personal journey, your experience with Daniel, your perspective as a parent of an autistic child. I want to thank you for being our guest tonight. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Connie, for jumping in on this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And Alex, thank you for being on the show. It's been, I'm very delighted with the ground we've covered, which has been quite a bit.
Yeah.
I thoroughly am delighted with your book, Gods in the Game, Messages on the Awakening and Conscious Shift. I want to thank you for not only creating books like this, but it's quite clear you have a deep felt compassion for humanity. And so I want to thank you, Alex, for being our guest tonight on the show. I've really enjoyed this episode.
Well, thank you, Les. I certainly appreciate it. And thank you for all the work you're doing in this shift.
Hold on. You were saying?
I was just going to ask if I could plug my website in case anybody needs to reach out to any member of our team.
Jesus, I almost forgot that step. So, Alex, we're getting to the end. Let me back up a little. And Alex, we're getting towards the end of the show. Tell the audience how they can find your books, plural, your website, and anything else you want to share.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you for asking, Les. No, you can find me, and if you want to reach out to either Connie or any of the members of our team, I'm at alexmarcoux.com, and you spell it alexmarcoux.com. And, yeah, you can, on the website, sign up for our newsletter, and our books are available wherever you like to buy books. If it's not there, ask the bookseller to bring them in. Of course, they're on Amazon and other big online bookstores. And, you know, we appreciate it. Thank you. And, Les, thank you for what you're doing. And you have a wonderful evening.
Very nice. We've been talking with Alex Marcoux and Connie tonight, and the topic has been all over the place, and I love it. God's in the game. Messages on the awakening and conscious shift. So, you know, we started off this episode with looking at you, the listener. Do you have flesh and bones? Do you have a body? Well, poof, there you go right there. You are a vehicle of the divine. When we look at the history of history, every single time there's been a flesh and bones persona that has been the vehicle of the divine. Yeshua or Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Moses, Krishna, the list goes on and on, but it's through the human persona, it's through the flesh and bones vehicle that God with a big G shows up on the planet. God with a big G is here now, as you, in you, through you, and your soul's choice to incarnate as you, the listener, now during this karmic tsunami going on the planet, you, the listener, have a purpose, a role, a part in this fantastic story that's unfolding as humanity literally intends to unfold the return of heaven on earth is, I think, the overall intent to bring the Christ consciousness into the physical realm, into the physical form. And here you are, the listener. I want to applaud you, the listener. You're showing up for yourself. Here we are at the end of the episode, and here you are too. Way to show up for yourself. I applaud you. I don't do this for me. I do this for you, the listener, and it's my pleasure to bring you episodes just like the one we had tonight. What a delightful show. I'm so delighted. Until next time, thanks for listening.
I'm your host, Les Jensen. You've been listening to a new human living broadcast. If you're a spiritual seeker, you're going to eventually bump up against your relationship with God, especially if you grew up in some of the more classic Western religions. Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior, is a spiritual book written for spiritual seekers to help them heal their relationship with God and more fully embody their own life purpose. Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. Get your copy. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Thanks for listening. Until next time.